okay, so I've got double audio coming from somewhere, and I got to figure out where it's coming from. Oh, my goodness. Hold on. Maybe this is it. That's it. Got it. Now we can begin. Ready? Go.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Now you know why I'm so tired all the time. All right, welcome to a Friday. We made it this far, so we got that going for us. All right, we got a busy show for you today. You know, with all of the insanity going on, with our rights being taken away, like one by one by one by one, and it all seems to be centered on the weird religious beliefs of Republicans in this country. All I could think of is, remember the old Reese's peanut butter cup commercials? Keep your peanut butter out of my chocolate, or your chocolate out of my peanut butter. Well, I say, keep your religion out of my government. And even more than that, keep your religion out of my body. My God, for people who are so uptight about what others do with their bodies, they sure want to control ours. You know, I went through this when I was a kid. I really didn't think we'd be in this place again, but here we are. All right, so today on that religion topic, you know, I was reading up on the guy who is the Republican nominee in the governor's race in Pennsylvania, and be afraid, be very afraid. You know, I understand that the Democrat who ran unopposed, Josh Shapiro, I believe is his name, actually propped up this guy. I'm drawing a blank on his name. It's like Mastriano or something like that. I'll find it and I'll give you the correct pronunciation, even though I'm fine with mispronouncing his name because it's all he deserves. This guy is a religious zealot. He's a nut. Remember Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota? There's this thing called the Apostolic Church. They're worse than just your regular run-of-the-mill, you know, I don't even know what to call them. So I'm going to be joined by Reverend Barry W. Lynn. Now, I met Barry, God, many years ago. He used to run. He was the executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And this is what this is about. Get your religion out of my government. He retired some years ago, but he's still doing the work. And so we're going to talk about all of that. But before we get into that, another story has piqued my curiosity. And we saw it unfold over the past, we saw it unfold during this session of Congress. This is the 117th Congress. And I remember back in, turned off my monitor. There we go. All right. Back in, as the 2020 race was heating up, you know, I always reach out and I like to interview candidates, hopefully maybe even get them a few votes. And I, like the rest of you, was shocked on election night or whenever the results came in when I saw that this twerp, who became the youngest person ever elected to Congress, beat out Colonel Mo Davis for this congressional seat in North Carolina. Now, Colonel Mo Davis was a Twitter friend of mine and had been on the show a few times. And in fact, we did a great interview as he was a candidate for this seat. And when he was telling me about who his opponent was, this creep named Madison Cawthorn, who, you know, I don't think he graduated from college and he had like a D average and he's just a general fuck up. And I'm thinking Mo Davis's credentials are brilliant. I mean, this is a guy who's got a military background, retired U.S. Air Force, the real deal. And when I saw that he was beaten by Madison Cawthorn, I realized it had nothing to do with who he was. It just had to do with what tribe he belonged to. And the Republicans got behind this guy. And it just shows, when you look at who this guy is, that they have no morals, even though they preach morality to us every day. This is what I call opposite world. Okay, so over the last few months, we've heard horror story after horror story about this guy. He brought guns, loaded guns, to the airport, stopped on a number of occasions. He has a number of DUIs. It just goes on and on. And then other things started leaking, right? And maybe that's the wrong word to use with this. I'm deciding whether or not to play this video. You've seen it. I don't need to play it again. But, you know, just a few weeks ago, what seemed to be the final straw, this video of Madison Cawthorn naked, dry humping somebody. It's just, it was offensive in every conceivable way you could look at it. And now we find out that there was a group responsible for getting this video out there. Now, how they got it, I don't know, but maybe we'll find out in a moment, because as soon as I get my my shot set up, I'm going to bring in David Wheeler. David Wheeler is one of the principals of this group who started life as Fire Madison. So their website was firemadison.com. They're on Twitter at @fire_Madison. And I'm getting close. This is what happens when you do everything yourself. You get a little, it's hard to chew gum and talk at the same time. I'm trying to set up a video shot and talk at the same time. But here we go. So David B. Wheeler is the co-founder and executive director of FireMadison.com. And I guess now we should say FireBobert.com as well. Hi, David Wheeler. Welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. You know, when we exchanged emails this morning, I was unaware that you were working with Mo Davis. See, that shines a whole different light on it. Mo Davis is awesome. He's great. Well, please send him my best. He was a great candidate and would have made a wonderful congressman for that district.
But we would have, darn it. And we wouldn't have had to deal with orgies and and cocaine bumps.
Right. Key bumps. Like, how would anybody who wasn't part of the culture even know that term?
Who knows? God only knows. I had no idea. Clearly, I don't know what it is because I can't even pronounce it properly.
So David Wheeler, you are also a North Carolina resident, as is Mo Davis. And is that why you decided to form this Fire Madison pack to get him out of office?
Yeah, well, Mo and I were both candidates in 2020. I ran for the state Senate in six of the counties of the 17 counties that Mo had. And we got to know each other pretty well, and we both outperformed Biden and Governor Cooper. So we said, listen, how do we use that momentum to get rid of Cawthorn?
Right. Now, I think actually, let me play devil's advocate for a second. And I do. I thank you for exposing him, because you're the ones who got that video. You got other information and released it on the website at firemadison.com and on Twitter and social media. And you got it out there and just let the world know who this guy is. But he's also doing a pretty good job. He was doing a pretty good job of digging his own grave. And I might say, maybe we would be better off leaving him in there, because he was much easily defeatable than this other guy who came in that we don't know anything about.
Well, we went through all those different scenarios, Mo and Graham and a bunch of others on the team. And that included the Republicans, unaffiliated voters. It wasn't just Democrats talking to each other in a vacuum. We had a very broad based coalition that helped us get rid of Cawthorn. But we looked at the math. The math is, in a general election, it's much more difficult to get rid of him.
Really?
Much more difficult. Okay. And if you look at how close it was, even in his own primary, he would have easily walked away with probably double digit win, because even if he was down, the Republicans would have they wouldn't have undermined him in any way. They would have, because they don't want to lose the seat.
Right. Right. Even though they wanted him out in the primary, which is what happened. But in the general, they'd get behind him because he's their idiot.
Exactly. And Trump would have, you know, one or two visits by Trump or Donald Jr. here would have, even if he was down, probably would have motivated enough of the MAGA folks out here to turn out to vote.
Yeah. So well, I guess
we thought, let's take him out. And we just thought he was a. Too dangerous to leave in office and risk a general.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. So thank you on behalf of a grateful nation.
Well,
thank you.
It wasn't just me. It was a lot of other folks. And obviously the voters are the ones that made the decision. And thank goodness they did. But, you know, we had a lot of donors, a lot of supporters, volunteers and helpers along the way. So it wasn't just me. But I will take your thanks on their behalf.
Please, and pass it along as I speak for everybody else. But I'll do it because I know the sentiment is there. So David B. Wheeler, then yesterday on Twitter, I see the Fire Madison Twitter account says, we've decided on our next target. And next up, we're firing Boebert. Well, please. So
exactly.
Now, so if you go to firebobert.com, you get the on the homepage, it says Fire Boebert. It says, and there's a picture of her and Madison Cawthorn together. Go figure. It says one fired May 17th, the other will be fired on June 28th. Firebobert.com. So June 28th is the day of the Colorado primary, I'm guessing.
Yeah. That's correct.
Okay. And that's so correct. You're asking, send us tips. So is this how you got all the dirt on Madison Cawthorn? People sent you information and videos and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, we're a lot more about a lot more than just dirt. But yeah, I mean, that's how we got started. We opened up a website and said, listen, if you've got information on Cawthorn that we need to be aware of, or that the voters more importantly need to be aware of, you know, please send them to us, because we, you know, the guy's never been held accountable in his life other than this primary.
Right.
This would be the first time he's been held accountable, you know, with all the driving, the guns. The guy was taking 4.5-inch daggers into schools around here.
God.
And it's illegal to have them even in the car, in the parking lot, let alone inside a school. So, we created a tip line, got some good tips early on. And one of the first and probably what put us on the map was the first time he was stopped by TSA taking a gun through security.
Right. Yeah. Wouldn't anybody else be prosecuted for that? How did he skate from that? Because he did that more than once.
That's right. Well, there's multi jurisdictions involved. You've got the TSA who can levy fines and take away his TSA pre, and there are other penalties. They generally, the first time around, give you a warning, and then the local prosecutor chose not to prosecute, which is generally the practice, frankly, in his defense.
Okay,
however,
but
a second
that's
time around.
Right. The second time, he should have gone to jail. I mean, look, you know, I know this is a non sequitur, but the guy who jumped on stage and attacked Dave Chappelle at the Hollywood Bowl was just arrested for attempted murder of his roommate. So these things are not isolated. Somebody, when they show their true colors, listen to them. Right.
Well, I agree 100%. And the guy's a gun nut. I mean, Cawthorn is a complete gun nut. He has an arsenal in his home. And we have actually gone back to that county, same county that the airport's in, and asked the sheriff to lift his concealed carry permits, because there is a provision of the law that says if you're not of good moral character, you can have your gun permits revoked. And that good moral character is really up to the sheriff. But, you know, he's proven time and again that he's a lawbreaker. He doesn't care about the law, and he shouldn't have the privilege of having guns in his home.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But you know what? There's also a provision that mentions the Supreme Court justices, that as long as they're operating with an ethical, high moral ethical code, that they're good. They're not, just in case you were wondering, and we can't get rid of them either.
Loud and clear.
Yeah, so we're operating at a disadvantage in a lot of areas these days.
In a lot of ways.
But you did it. It's mission accomplished with Madison Cawthorn. He will not be on the ballot for the general election, so that's good news. Do you know much about the guy that beat him in the primary?
You know, I don't. I know he's a white guy that drives a rich white guy that drives a Cadillac. Okay. I'm not sure we need more rich guys that drive Cadillacs
in Congress. Hell no.
US Congress.
No.
But I think the upside, if he does win, he'll at least be reasonable and open and help the people here.
Well,
You know, Cawthorn had zero availability. He held zero town halls.
Wow.
Zero.
Wow.
So he got zero input from people. You know, he claimed to have offices that were all closed. So hopefully Edwards, you know, if Jasmine Beach-Mara doesn't beat him, and she may have a shot. It's a marginal district. It's, between 8 and 12 R.
Yeah, well, Asheville, if there were no gerrymandering, Asheville itself would be a very blue district. But it's gerrymandered, so you got a lot of red areas surrounding it, right?
Well, not really. Not really, to be honest with you. I don't mean to contradict on our first show together
okay.
here, but...
You live there, I don't.
You know, it's positioned into the westernmost part of North Carolina, which there isn't much gerrymandering they could do. All the counties are contiguous. They did move around a couple counties, but they moved it to a better position for a Democrat than the prior district. They moved a couple counties out and a couple in. So you're absolutely right that Asheville itself is very liberal, but the county that it's in is not. Outside of Asheville is, you know, fairly Trumpy.
Right.
So within the limits, you get lots of Democrats elected, and then you get within the county because Asheville has the most voters, but the county itself is not necessarily a Democratic stronghold.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Okay. So now, mission accomplished there. And then you put your heads together and decided that the next person you needed to expose is Lauren Boebert. She's in Colorado. She's in, I think, Colorado Springs, which is a very right area. So now you're just putting out feelers. Tell us what you know. You say, send us tips. So you have the website set up at fireboebert.com. You say, please send us any information, pictures, videos, or documents you have on Lauren Boebert or her associates. The information must be factual. We will keep your identity confidential and anonymous and email it. So you, David, at fireboebert.com, or you have a phone number that people could call or text you, 97. Well, I won't give it out. They'll go to the website if they have the information. Because I don't want, well, my listeners aren't going to give you harassing calls because we don't.
Yeah, go ahead. We're happy to have the number out
okay.
there. Then we get plenty of crazy calls already.
Well, I see fun, that. So. My listeners won't do that, but it's 970-610-6001. I'll put all the information on the blog where I post the show today at NicoleSandler.com/5-20-22. But what I love is, you're just starting this. I think the site just went live yesterday or today, right?
Yesterday.
So you do have a section, batshit crazies messages. So here you got one from a Jim Walk with an E at the end, 57 at yahoo.com. Subject, group of morons. Message, you are a group of morons going after someone doing great work. You are disgusting. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I like this one. The name on this form is you're a Nassy, N-A-S-Y. I guess they left out the T. Asshole.
Yeah.
And the message is, and they have a phone number there. I don't know if anyone tried calling them. You are a petty little piece of shit. Get a life. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll tell him. And then I love this one. Someone left a voicemail message and the I can play it even. Oh, let's see. Let's see if we can play it here. It looked like I could hit play. But the transcript is, yes, I have information about David Wheeler regarding pedophilia that he's involved in, and I think we're going to start a crusade against him because he's a pedophile. He's a disgusting, disgusting pedophile. So we'll be in touch with you. Thank you very much. Bye.
Yeah.
they can't even come up with more words than, disgusting, disgusting pedophile.
And that was just the first batch. I mean, you ought to see some of these.
Oh, I'm sure.
We're going to post some more. I get a kick out of it, to be honest with you. I think it's just pathetic that people have time to write that kind of crap and send it to somebody knowing that it's not going to be read, or if it is going to be read, it's going to be ridiculed.
Yes.
I got one today. His signature was 70W30 something else. And my response back to him is 70 your waist size or your IQ?
Great minds. Yeah. You know,
I'm not going to take shit from these people. If they want to send nasty stuff, then I'll respond in kind. I'm not going to be a child about it, but
absolutely.
You know, when they call me a pedophile, they don't know that I have 3 children under the age of 11. They don't know that I'm involved in a lot of other school-related programs. I was on the board of a local.
It doesn't matter who you are. Nothing to do with you. They call everybody a pedophile. Yeah. Anybody who's not them, this is the Q mentality. Yeah. They're pedophiles. We eat babies, don't you know? And now we find that we burn the fetuses to power our cities.
That's right.
God. You know, school would be good. I understand they're all about, you know, cutting education budgets, but an education is a good thing. It might help some of these people. So are you getting any good tips yet along with the nastiness?
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about the nasty. That's 1/100th of the positive information we've been getting. We've you know, lots of word of encouragement. We got over 500 people signed up to be in one way part of our team, either fundraise or digital ambassador or in some way help us in less than 24 hours, which was a record for us. We also raised the most amount of money in one day that we've ever raised over the last 24 hours.
Wow.
So, and we've gotten over 50 tips. I mean, it's unbelievable the information that people have compiled. And I think what it is, you know, they have this information, but they don't know where to share it locally because they don't want to be in her sites or her followers' bad graces. And now that we've set this up, they can send it to us. We will go to court to keep them anonymous. We will not release any names unless a court tells us to. So there's no way they're going to be discovered. And the amount of information that's starting to come in is really fantastic.
Oh,
and it's good.
Good,
solid information. It's not quite as salacious as some of the Cawthorn stuff, but there might be some illegality in some of what we're seeing as well that we could turn over to local law enforcement.
Oh, I have no doubt. Just listening to this woman speak, I have no doubt. So good. Oh, I'm excited. All right. So firebobert.com. The Twitter account is at firebobert. And it's an interesting, I just added a column to my tweet deck, and there are some interesting, you've got the Boebert supporters on there, of course.
Yeah.
And the people who know what's going on. And I love this one. One guy, Dan Prin, followed by about a dozen numbers, so that's a real person, says, "Aren't you the same organization that promotes child trafficking and pedophilia? Thought so. Because that's all they know how to do." It's just astounding. Boebert is a proud criminal. Okay, so it's entertaining reading on there. So this is going on. Now, are you limiting yourself to just her? Because my husband just took his head in here. It's his birthday, by the way. And he said, "Rand Paul, please do Rand Paul next."
Yeah. Well, you know, he's already been through his primary, but we'll see. I mean, we've got a short runway here to work on her. She does have a very strong, similar opponent. I haven't met him. I haven't talked to him. You know, he looks like at least a sane Republican, and she's got a tough primary.
Yeah.
She's got a tough primary. So we're hoping that we can have an effect there.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. Well, keep up the good work. Again, everybody can go visit. You can go to the Madison Cawthorn site, firemadison.com. It's still there, and there's a lot of great information there. And then the new fledgling site for the new campaign, firebobert.com. More power to you guys. Please, again, send my best to Mo Brooks, Mo Davis. Wow.
Yep.
Talk about a Freudian slip. Mo Davis. He's the good Mo. Right.
You got it.
And keep up the good work. And I look forward to calling to congratulate you on and thanking you on behalf of all of us again when you do it yet a second time.
Well, thanks for having me. And let's do this again.
Without a doubt. I would love to. We'll stay in touch.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, David Wheeler.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. How cool is that? It's guerrilla politics. It's not guerrilla warfare because it's not war. But this is people coming together to oust the bad spirits from our government. Now, I wish it were that easy to purge the crazies from our lives entirely. So I've been reading up on this the guy who is now the Republican nominee in the gubernatorial race in Pennsylvania. You know, there are some people who say be careful what you wish for, because the Democratic nominee was hoping that he'd win, much the same way the Clintons wanted the Orange Menace to be their opponent, thinking he'd be the easiest to beat. Well, you don't always know that. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. Yes.
You had it right the first time. It's Mastroianni.
Oh, Mastroianni. Thank you. I need to write it down because Mastroianni. So anyway, I've been reading up on this guy. And you need to read up on him. I found an article from the New Yorker from about a year ago. I will post it on the blog with today's show because you need to read this. The headline, the date on it was, hold on as I scroll up, it was May 9th, 2021. So literally a year ago, written by Eliza Griswold. And the headline was, "A Pennsylvania Lawmaker and the Resurgence of Christian Nationalism: How Doug Mastroianni's Rise Embodies the Spread of a Movement Centered on the Belief that God Intended America to Be a Christian Nation." Okay, but it's not just Christian. It's not, that's a perversion of Christianity. And you know me, I'm not a religious person. I do have a problem on the surface with organized religion just because, what I've learned of it, it seems to do more harm than good. Now, our guest coming up in a moment may disagree with me, and that's fine, or he may not, because he's seen all of this. But I want to play for you a video that's been making the rounds. This guy who I'm about to introduce you to is a pastor. I'm not even sure where he's from, but he uses his pulpit as a political tool. And you know, so there's that. He also, his church enjoys tax exempt status. Well, I've got a real problem with that. So let me give you an example of the kind of crap that this pastor is doing from his pulpit, where, we're supposed to have separation of church and state. It doesn't seem to be in effect in this particular church. Take it away, Pastor. Let's hear what you have to say here.
I'm to the place right now, if you vote Democrat, I don't even want you around this church. You can get out.
Really?
You can get out, you demon.
Demon?
You can get out, you baby butchering election thief.
Okay.
You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. I don't care how mad that makes you. You get pissed off as you want to. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. They are God-denying demons that butcher babies and hate this nation.
Wow.
They hate this nation.
Really?
Get mad all you want to. I don't care if you stand. I don't care if you throw tomatoes. Praise God. I'm about to throw a microphone up
praise
in his house.
God? Praise God.
CNN can eat my dirty socks. You cannot be a Democrat and a Christian. You cannot. Somebody say amen. The rest of you, get out.
Oh, my
get
God.
Get out. Get out in
you
the name
get
of
out.
Jesus.
You
I ain't
get
playing
out.
Your stupid games. Bunch
oh
of devils.
God.
I'm sick of it. Hey, we want to talk about the insurrection.
Yeah?
Mm.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You ain't seen an insurrection yet.
That sounds like a threat.
You keep on pushing our buttons, you low-down, sorry compromisers. You God-hating communist America. You'll find out what an insurrection is, because we ain't playing your garbage. We ain't playing your mess. My Bible says that the church of the living God is an institution that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Bible says that we'll take it by force. That's what the Bible says.
Oh, my God.
That's what the
it
Bible
does?
Says.
Is that what the Bible says? Somehow I don't think that's what the Bible
says. It's
going
to get worse.
It's going to get worse. Yeah, if you stay in place. Pastor Greg Locke did that from a church, from the pulpit. Really? I don't know how that is allowed to happen. And he doesn't have to pay taxes. Sounds like a scam to me. Barry W. Lynn. how's that for an intro, Barry?
It's wonderful. You know, I do a podcast every Thursday, and I usually do a religious right nut of the week.
Uh-huh.
And Pastor Locke was last night's religious right nut of the week. And you're right. There is a provision in the tax code that says if you're a church or any other nonprofit, you cannot endorse or oppose candidates for public office. And I was, when I first started at Americans United, the very first person we complained about, I think it was literally the first day I was there, was a guy in upstate New York who took out an ad that was at the time worth $40,000 in USA Today that said, this is during the Clinton election. He said, don't vote for Bill Clinton because he is a sinner. And then it had Bible proof texts to prove that Bill Clinton's positions were not biblical. And then at the bottom, it said, if you vote for a sinner, you are a sinner too. And then it said, send tax deductible contributions to the following address.
Of course.
Now, this was the church that was the home church of one Randall Terry. Randall Terry, of course, one of the great anti-choice activists.
Yeah.
Randall Terry eventually had a little issue. I think he ran away with somebody he met at the church, and he was kind of ostracized. But I did have him on a radio show, and I said, Randall, I said, first of all, let me congratulate you on what you're going to do. He wanted to go to Nashville to become a country singer. I said, that would be great. But I said, if that fails, I said, how do you, you know, justify what you did? And then he got, you know, so he got a divorce, he remarried. That's definitely not biblical. I said, but you condemn anybody who has an abortion. And his response was interesting. He said, well, Barry, we're all human, which I thought was hypocrisy writ large.
Absolutely.
We're all human, unless you're a woman who wants to consider having an abortion, then apparently you aren't.
No, you're not. You're just you're a tool to do the man's bidding, because they still live in that place in someone's mind, I guess. So Barry Lynn, you mentioned Americans United. So Barry was executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State for many, many years. What was from the 90s until about 5 years ago, right?
A quarter century.
Wow.
That sounds more than 25
it
years.
It does, right?
But yes, I did retire, and I'm still out doing the right things and going to the marches. And I was at the march in Washington for women's rights last week. And it was spectacular. I mean, there are people on the left who don't believe that there should be mass marches. But if you get together and you see how many people are out there trying to make the point. Now, and we'll get back to Doug in a minute, but one of the things that bothered me so much last week is that nobody can criticize Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, who just 2 days earlier had endorsed in Texas the one and only remaining anti-choice member of Congress.
Henry Cuellar. And we have been criticized. I criticize him all the time. And yes, and today, we sent $20 to Jessica Cisneros.
Correct.
Because we need her to win.
Absolutely.
The fact that Nancy Pelosi is endorsing Henry Cuellar, that's, you know, that's just, it shows everything that's wrong with the Democratic Party. And then on top of it, she was today, did you hear about this? The church, the Archdiocese of San Francisco said she can't get communion or whatever it is the Catholics get anymore because she voted to codify Roe v. Wade. Well, how hypocritical is that?
Of course it is. I mean, it's a every once in a while when I would get into some flack with some religious right group, there are two people who are actually praying for my death, two ministers.
Oh, my.
And, it's called imprecatory prayer, and it's actually you can find them in the so-called Christian Old Testament. And they ask Mike Huckabee about it and what they think that it was, you know, because I have occasionally met with Mike Huckabee. And he said, well, I prefer that we try to convert people, not curse them, which was really a wonderfully delicate thing for him to say.
Oh, my God.
But it is now impossible. And I look back, you know, I'm writing this book called Paid to Piss People Off. It's a memoir of my work at the ACLU, my work on behalf of Vietnam resistance, and my work with Americans United. Mm-hmm. And I keep finding these references to things that I had forgotten had happened to me, but the important thing, the nuttiness, the people who are now on the Supreme Court are people who used to take the kind of positions that I would have to argue against in the very earliest days of cable television.
Wow.
Because I could speak in complete sentences. And then they'd have people like Kellyanne Fitzpatrick, now Kellyanne Conway,
right?
But they would take these bizarre positions, but now they've become the mainstream of conservative thinking on the United States Supreme Court. And people go, well, and I'm also sick, since we're bashing Democrats a little bit, I am so sick of Democratic senators who go, you ask them, why did they not stop? I think the last time I talked to you was about Amy Coney Barrett.
Right.
What did they think? She's a woman who, years before the nomination, took out an ad, signed an ad that called abortion barbaric. Barbaric. What did they think that meant? She was going to be open-minded about a woman's right to choose? And I am so sick of Democratic senators who say, I went on MSNBC and I really opposed her. I gave a great speech. I don't want to hear that. I want to know, what did you do? Extraordinary things that you could have done to delay and perhaps have put the kibosh on her nomination.
Right. And that's the thing. Well, she told us, you heard her. She said it's settled law. Right. And
exactly.
You know what? And I have some beautiful swampy land not too far from where I'm sitting. I'll sell you at a really good price. What the hell? By the way, Barry, I just got to say, where are you? I'm looking at your background. I know a lot of people put up these fancy Zoom backgrounds, but I think that's the real deal. And it looks like
No, it's not.
Really?
No, it's not the real deal.
Oh.
It's one of those fancy backgrounds.
Is it? I'm thinking you're right on the ocean and you got the water behind you.
But, you know, I'm here in Washington, D.C.
I was feeling very jealous. Wow.
Yeah, well, you should have felt jealous. But, I mean, usually I also have a background that consists of nothing but sock monkeys. But I thought it would be disrespectful to bring so many monkeys into this conversation.
But they're already here. They're all in D.C.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Now I know. Now I don't feel so jealous. All right. Okay. Anyway, so Barry Lind, we have the crazies in churches around the country preaching from the pulpit, which they're not supposed to do, while enjoying tax-exempt status. That's something you at Americans United fought against for years and still waging the same battle over there?
Yeah, they are. And in fact, Pastor Locke was just sent a note. The Internal Revenue Service was sent a a note about Pastor Locke, who you just played, just this week by one of the lawyers at Americans United, that the problem is this law is not being enforced. We had high hopes when Barack Obama came into office.
Didn't we, though?
Yeah, we did. And, you know, when it comes to church-state separation, there's very little good that Barack Obama did. But one of the things he didn't do, of course, was to enforce that law. And churches were going out. Occasionally, there are African-American churches that do kind of endorse candidates.
Yes, they do.
But generally, I remember one fellow we did turn in, and I was on some radio show with him afterwards, and he kind of apologized and said, I know I shouldn't have done it, but I did, and I'm not going to do it again, as opposed to most of the conservative pastors who say, I did it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what the IRS thinks. I don't care what Barry Lynn thinks. I don't care what Americans United thinks. I'm going to continue to do it, just like this jerk Pastor Locke. And he is a jerk.
Well, here's a great story. I don't know if you remember. It was 11 years ago now. I went to what was supposed to be a town hall meeting with my then Congressman Alan West. Of course, it was held at the Calvary Chapel, a mega church down here that was not even in the district, but, you know, they hosted him because they could. And when we got there, there was this guy, like, you know, salivating on stage over Alan West. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And apparently it was Pastor Bob. People next to us thought, oh, that's Pastor Bob. This is Pastor Bob's house. Well, a couple of months later, maybe a year later, Pastor Bob was ousted from the Calvary Chapel because of all the extramarital affairs and other crap he was doing on the side. They're all hypocrites. I shouldn't say all, because Barry Lynn, you're a reverend. You're still with the church, yes?
Yes, I am. And I take it seriously, and I preach a sermon called The Two Worst Ways to Make Public Policy in America: Bible Literalism and Constitutional Originalism.
Uh-huh.
Two completely phony ways to operate.
Yes.
But
the Constitution is one thing, but the Bible should have nothing to do with the Constitution, right?
That is correct. You know, I used to do, I worked for the ACLU for a long time.
You
also
are a lawyer as well.
I am a lawyer. And I used to, when I would do panels at conventions of the ACLU, I would posit the following question. Let's say you have somebody who is against the death penalty, but the only thing they will talk about is how Jesus in one of the Gospels says about the stoning of a woman for adultery, let he who is perfect cast the first stone.
Right.
If that's the only argument you've got, don't make it. Look at the data. If that's what's in your heart that propels you to oppose the death penalty, great. If you want to influence legislation, don't use that. Use the other gazillion arguments against capital punishment that could be made.
Of course.
But I don't think we're going to have Doug Mastriano. I don't think he's going to be changing his mind any too soon.
Now, let's talk about Doug Mastriano.
Sure.
Again, he is the Republican nominee for governor of Pennsylvania. And that's even worse than it sounds, because the governor of Pennsylvania appoints the Secretary of State, and that's who oversees all election action in the state. And Doug Mastriano said if he were in office, if he held that position when the 2020 election happened, he would not have certified the election. He's already said he would decertify that election if he gets put into office, and he'll throw out the voting machines, and basically he'll turn things around. But the reason he says that he would do this is because of God. Here's a quote from an email that he wrote to the person who wrote this article for The New Yorker. I believe that happened when he was in Iraq. He was deployed in the Middle East. He always carried the Bible with him, for whatever reason. And he believes that he was saved from a pretty catastrophic event by God. He said, I believe I was saved by God who answered the prayers of Pennsylvanians. He said, Rebbe played a significant role in leading those prayer efforts, his wife, as she had more than 20 churches praying specifically for my unit. For the next 3 decades, he continued to serve. This is scary, too, because of what it says about the military. For the next 3 decades, he continued to serve in military intelligence in Iraq and Afghanistan, where he appears to have developed a dim view of Islam. In recent years, he has often spread Islamophobic memes online. In one, he spread a conspiracy theory that Ilhan Omar, the Democratic congressman woman from Minnesota, directed fellow Muslims to throw a 5-year-old off a balcony. In another, he shared a graphic that read, Islam wants to kill gay rights, Judaism, Christianity, and pacifism. So it goes on like this. And then he said in 2019, after retiring from the military and teaching at the U.S. Army War College in Pennsylvania, Mastriano decided to run for office. Quote, our freedoms are being encroached, he wrote to me, and the precious lives of babies are eliminated without concern, while free speech is under attack by Orwellian-like ideologies that are taking over our public institutions. This man is pulling from apostolic Christianity. Is that right. Different from Christian nationalism, or is it all kind of the same thing?
Well, it's just one strain of it. But yes, he claims that he didn't have any close connections with that. But these are the people who literally believe that demons have taken over the world, leaders around the world, and that they were literally demons. I remember. Yeah. I mean, demons are great in horror movies, but, you know, I'm afraid that the demonic presence thing just doesn't resonate with my brand of Christianity. But you're right to point out the hypocrisy on this man. He was in the state Senate in Pennsylvania, and right. He did promote a heartbeat bill, which is one of these lies that suggests that you can hear a heartbeat at, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. But he's also said that if he is governor, he will push for more. He wants to have a ban on abortion from the moment of conception. So this is
well, back, which, you know, Oklahoma just did.
Oklahoma just did it. And he wants to do the same thing. You're right that sometimes we get excited about who's running and we say those guys are just too insane, but then they turn out to be not so insane. I mean, this is a country that believes that Joe Biden is causing inflation.
Right. Meanwhile, inflation is happening all around the world. We all went through this global pandemic for the last 2 years and some months now, and it affected everything and everyone. And for them to blame Joe Biden, just like the gas prices, right, that's Joe Biden's fault. Give me a break.
Mastriano also, in his acceptance speech the other night, quoted the Bible, of course, quoted from 1 Corinthians. And then he said, my goal is to make his story, meaning Jesus's story, the history of the moment. In other words, he believes God chose him to run.
Yeah.
That's what's very clear. And this harkens back to so many people who in the past, I remember in 2016, I was called the theologian in residence in Ames, Iowa, right before the Iowa caucuses. And there were like 13 people running on the Democratic side. And I said in one of my presentations, we have to be careful here because Ben Carson, who was running, he said he felt the fingers of God when he decided to run. Now, he was careful. He didn't say where he felt the fingers. John Kasich said that on Meet the Press, he said, I didn't know where to turn. I was trying to figure out what the Lord had in store for me next. And then I guess he got the message, run for president. Ted Cruz didn't say this himself, but he said his father said that God has destined for my son to be great. I don't think he was talking about reading a Dr. Seuss book on the floor of the house. But
can I also mention Mitt Romney? Because this is not unique to Christianity, because the Mormons have been for years had a goal of infiltrating the U.S. government at the highest levels, and they wanted Mitt Romney as president.
That's correct. Mrs. Santorum, remember Rick Santorum?
How could I forget Frothy?
Rick Santorum didn't say God told him he would be president, but he did say that his wife had been told by God, and she related this to him, that God wanted him to be president of the United States.
Oh, God. And it's not only them. Barry, you've not met my husband. But this is David. He pops in every now and then because he has a couple of cents to add. And it is his birthday, so I have to let him today.
No kidding. Happy Hi, birthday.
Barry. What I was going to say is it's just sad that if there is a God, the only people he has to talk to are these fucking assholes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be neutral on whether he would use exactly that language. But I would think he'd be thinking that.
Yeah.
Even if not saying it. But religion becomes the last bastion of scoundrels in politics. And if you don't directly say that you are chosen by God, as Mastriano, I think, clearly has.
He did. And Trump has said that, too.
Trump has said that, too.
Is a man who, look, I'm an atheist Jew. You know, I don't know religion. My religious training comes from watching the Ten Commandments on TV when I was a kid. Right. Seriously, my family was not religious. We were secular Jews. And I love the traditions, but, you know, I'm not there. But hearing, you know, these people tell me what I believe or tell me what I'm supposed to do to live up to their moral code is a joke, the unfunny kind.
Oh, absolutely. And they do think they have an answer for everything. There was a guy I used to have debates with named Wayne Grudem. Wayne Grudem wrote a book called Politics According to the Bible. And it's not just about he's anti-gay, he's anti-choice, but he even digs down into what is the new fighter jet that ought to be purchased by the Department of Defense. And then he has a footnote about what it is, and I forget what it is because it was so insane, but this idea that you find in the Bible every answer to every question is, among other things, it's not even biblical.
Right.
I mean, why would you consider get too theological here, but why would there be a book of the revelation of St. John, a continuing resolution? Why would Jesus in one of the Gospels tell his quite distressed disciples, don't be too upset because there's more for you to learn. There are some things it's too tough for you to take on. I don't want to tell you about them, but the Holy Spirit will come and tell you more. So it's not even biblical to claim that the Bible is the end of all Christian thought. But these people, they have a big problem, not just with the Constitution, but with the text of the Bible itself.
Right.
They think the Bible says no abortion. It doesn't. It says the opposite.
Right. The clip that I played from that guy is like, the Bible tells you be violent. Or all that stuff. I know the Old Testament was pretty gnarly in some places.
Yeah, it could have been.
But that's not their Bible. that's
no.
The Jews, right? That's
exactly
what my people believe, allegedly.
Yes.
So none of it may. I mean, I think it's probably wonderful literature, but, you know. Okay, I also got to ask you about, I remember Michelle Bachmann and her brand of crazy, and there was the whole thing about Dominionists and Apostolic Church. Is this, these are all these evangelical, I hate to keep calling them crazy because I know they're not everybody who has religion is crazy, but this brand of religion is pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty crazy. That's one of the more polite things people would call it. But it is, and it is, it's now tied up very much with the QAnon conspiracy. And so is Doug Mastriano.
Right.
Because he spoke to a group that was promoting QAnon stuff, and they're still believing that Democrats are eating babies. They're killing them. And if they're not eating them, they're
dismembering them and tearing out limb by limb and throwing them in the freezer. Did you see any of the hearing the other day? They abort babies while they're in the birth canal. What kind of nonsense are they listening to? Are they really that stupid?
Well, they're repeating, of course, the same thing that nearly was tragic during the Clinton election, when some idiot who listened to all this said that a pizza place, I actually go to pizza place here in D.C., and called Comet Pizza.
Right.
And they had heard, he had heard that they were dismembering babies and seeking to take the ones they didn't dismember and put them up for some kind of child sex ring in the basement of Comet Pizza.
Right.
But there is no basement in Comet Pizza.
Right.
So he went, but the guy came in with a gun one Sunday and shot up the place, didn't kill anyone, but would have had no concern had he done so. Because you may not know this, Nicole.
Yeah.
But the book of Revelation has one phrase. The phrase is rod of steel. And that's obviously, that means that you can have guns.
Oh, my God.
Rod of iron.
Oh,
my goodness.
Have
steel at the time. Rod of iron.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite church services I heard about recently, just a couple of years ago, was a joint effort to bless your AK-15s.
AR-15s, right?
And recommit your marital vows. It was like a dual thing to do. And it was in Pennsylvania, where else, that this church combined and had that service. Bless the guns, kiss your spouse, and do it publicly. And if that's not bizarre, I don't know what is.
Right. It's all bizarre. And then there's this woman who, I don't even know who she is, who today or yesterday said about, you know, the aborted baby parts that allegedly are in the freezers that the doctor said, this is ridiculous. I've never heard of this, is being burned in incinerators to power the streetlights in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who she is, but I heard that. And, I'm glad we have streetlights in Washington, but I don't think we have to do that because, Nicole, it's just hard. For those of us who went through the 60s and thought we had made a significant change, that we were starting to energize people and have them work in a more progressive direction.
Right.
To see the nonsense that's going on and to look at the early polls for the election in November, you could get really depressed.
Oh,
But you can't. You literally cannot give up, because if you give up, you're contributing to an act of national suicide, and we cannot afford to do that.
No, we can't. We've got to be tough, and we've got to be strong, and we've got to defeat this, because it is a disease that is taking over the country. And as a religious man, I don't know how you deal with it. Because it's easy for me to just say they're all just fucking nuts, but you can't say that, or you can't say all are.
No, and I mean there really are really decent people who are members of the clergy who are trying to move things in a progressive direction, but unfortunately you never see them on television. Not about the war, not about anything. Because let's say you wanted to raise doubts about all the armaments we're sending to Ukraine, how would you even say that? You can't say that. I mean, MSNBC, which I don't like, looks like it's revelatory every time they can report that one more tank with somebody's kid in it has been destroyed.
Right. Well, war maybe they should put Reverend Barber on the air a little Reverend more often.
Yep. They should.
They absolutely
he's
should.
He's an extraordinary human
he
being.
He really is. He really is. Barry Lynn, we're just out of time. We are going to pick this up again in the very near future. You've got a few people that you want to bring on the show. So we will be talking, because this is important stuff. And this is, who would have ever thought, certainly not me, that in 2022, it would be this this perversion of religion, doing this stuff, trying to take away our rights, bringing us to a modern day Handmaid's Tale. I'm telling you, I'm going to start reading the book on the air. We're going to do a reading. I just ordered it, just showed up. Yep. We are living it again. And yes, I haven't read the book. I've seen the TV show. I think we're going to do a reading of the book here in a special weekly or whatever segment. Anyway, Barry Lynn, Barry's got a website, barrywlynn.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Barry W. Lynn. I'll put all the links on my blog.
Terrific.
And Barry, thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Nicole.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. And with that, I'm going to end this baby here, land this plane, as it were, because we got to go out to dinner. Allison, my daughter, just showed up. We're going to have dinner for David. So I'm not even going to leave you with the news tonight. I'm just going to sign off and say thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. And we'll pick up things right where we left off on Monday. Bye, everyone. Have a great weekend.